Today on the podcast, we have Jeff McNaught, who's the Vice President and Chief Strategy Officer of Cloud Client Computing at Dell Technologies. Hey, Jeff, thanks for being with us today.
Hey, Brian, thanks for having me.
Now, that is quite a mouthful. Cloud Client Computing at Dell Technologies. Tell me a little bit about what that encompasses and what your role is there.
Yeah, there's a little bit of alliteration there in the name, but Cloud Client Computing is really all about client computing, which has historically been a desktop, PC on every desk. But cloud client computing takes advantage of technologies like digital workspaces and VDI and server-based computing and a whole lot of other ones to provide companies with alternative methods of making sure that all of their employees can get access to all the different kinds of data they need whenever and wherever they are. And if you look at workforce transformation today, it really harkens back to the fact that we're not working a 9-to-5 day. We're not usually in an office for 8 hours. We're usually on the road, working from home, running around, whatever you need to do. And that just means fundamentally, we need to be able to provide solutions for our customers who are really trying to embrace workforce transformation and deliver the best experience for their employees, while at the same time, delivering the best security for their company.
So that combined approach, that's not too dissimilar than what your more traditional enterprise guys have done with converged infrastructure, some of the server-based HCI solutions, where they're pulling together from various parts of the Dell Technologies and Dell EMC organizations to put together solutions.
Yeah, if you look at my role, we actually straddle three Dell divisions and essentially bring them into one. We get all of our infrastructure from the Dell EMC brand you just described. We get our software from one of the Dell Technologies brands, VMware, but also from Citrix and from Microsoft. And then we hook that together with endpoints that could be OptiPlex, Latitude, Precision, our line of rugged devices, or our line of Wise Thin clients, depending on what the particular client needs.
So we've worked with you guys for a long time on Thin Client and some of the devices like what you just mentioned. We did a review of the Wise 3040 last year, and it went over better than I expected, honestly, with our audience, since our guys tend to be a little more infrastructure focused. It seems like, though, with all of this edge computing in whether it's IoT devices or things like thin clients, mobile thin clients, all these other devices, that these types of issues are becoming more a concern of a broader base within an organization's IT job role. Is that consistent with what you're seeing too, that there's a greater attention to the whole of IT and not necessarily just the core?
Yeah, I think so. And I first should say thank you very much for the work you did on the 3040. The Wise 3040 has become our largest selling product as a result, and we can't keep it on the shelves. So thanks for that.
Great.
And I think the reality is that as the IT shop is looking at addressing the needs of the executives and the employees alike, there used to be sort of one answer. And that worked fine when we all sat in an office for 8 hours a day and then left and didn't think much about our work. But today now, it's got to be a mix of mobile devices and companies who have BYOD and companies have corporate standards, and sometimes they'll issue you a phone and sometimes they won't. But more and more, the reality is that we do a lot more work outside of the office than we do inside. And I, as well as a lot of other people, spend a lot of time on airplanes. And so we just have different needs now than we had in the past. The PC business continues to deliver new and exciting ways to access data and, have that data with you. And for some employees, having that data with them is actually a hindrance, right? They don't want it to be in one device. They want it to be just available no matter what they're using. And so in that particular scenario, that's where cloud client computing really shines, because the data gets put in one place, but it gets put in a safe place. And then you access it with all these other types of devices.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've maybe not all been there, but I've been there. I was out in Vegas for a trade show and in a hurry left some of my very valuable equipment in a cab. And even though we have technology to track our phones and all sorts of things, I watched mine proceed to Las Vegas McCarran Airport and then disappeared and never was seen again. I'd like to think we're getting a little bit better at not leaving laptops with company data and USB drives around, but I'm sure that's not the case. Are we still being pretty poor about keeping track of small portable devices like that?
Well, it's tough. I share the same experience you had, although I wasn't in Vegas at the time. But, you know, we leave things on cabs. We're extraordinarily busy and running around and thinking about our next appointment. And yes, if you leave a device any sort of, you know, vehicle that you don't own, you run the risk of that device becoming, you know, somebody else's property. And I think, you know, if you look back a couple of years, what would typically happen with, if you left a laptop in a taxi, if somebody found it and if they were honest, it would come back to you. But if they weren't, it would typically get erased and then put up on one of the, you know, the online buying sites, and sold for the value of its parts, right? I mean, buying a laptop for, you know, $300 instead of the maybe $1,200 it cost.
Sure.
But today, that's not at all what we see. What we see today is when a laptop or a PC device is either recycled or in fact lost and retrieved or in fact stolen, that the first thing that gets done to that device is its entire storage system is scanned for more valuable information. And that's the first priority. That tends to be worth, in many cases, far, far more than what the device itself is worth. And so, you know, if you've got important information on there and certainly, you know, executives travel with contracts and strategy documents and sometimes even, you know, investment information, those are the sorts of things that can be hugely valuable. But even our own private information can be. Sometimes, you know, I'm a big fan of password managers.
Sure.
And if you've got a password manager on your hard drive, let's say, that isn't well protected, holy cow, you know, you can just see how that can get bad real fast.
So aside from physically losing the devices or having it stolen or, you know, leaving it behind in a car or hotel, is it reasonable to also think about these threats from externalities coming at our individual devices? I mean, here at Storage Review, we've got tons of gear, racks and racks and racks of gear, and we get attacked from all sorts of external IPs and we use firewalls to manage that. But how does that translate to the mobile device, and is an external attack via wireless or some other mechanism something to be concerned about too?
Well, I, you know, it is, and I'll tell you why. I was just on a flight transcon the other day, and we get a lot of nifty little tools to be able to use. It's kind of nerdware for network folks. And so I was bored for a moment and I popped open one of these tools while I was connected to the Wi-Fi on the airplane, and up pops all of the different people that are sharing that same Wi-Fi with me. And I'm able to see a certain level of data about them. But I've got their IP addresses. I've got a number of things. And if I was a black hat kind of guy, I might have gone probing around to see how deeply I could penetrate those different systems. Most people on an airplane never even realize that this is a possibility, but it's exactly the same risk as you have. And I think that this is the part we all understand. You don't go to Starbucks and open up your laptop and connect to the network without a VPN and start checking your bank balance. You know, well, that same scenario that I think we all understand is duplicated hundreds of times in all these other scenarios, like on an airplane, that we don't even think about it.
Well, we get kind of lazy, don't we? I mean, we're on the plane. You've seen all the movies 40 times, and you've got 4 hours, 5 hours going east to west, or the other way. And yeah, I mean, things happen. You get a text from your wife or your significant other, and you start to dig into something, and then before too long, you've realized, oh my gosh, what might I have done? And I suppose if you've never been burned by it, if you haven't been hit by one of those hacks or someone that steals your credit card, maybe you don't think about it enough. And I just wonder if as a populace, we don't worry as much as maybe we should about these things.
Well, I think that you definitely don't have sensitivity to it until you actually get burned. I'm still trying to convince my 85-year-old parents not to have exactly the same password for every single thing they connect to. And trying to get them to start using a password manager is like trying to teach them Pascal. So that's not going to happen. But,
Yeah, I suspect not. Yeah.
if you're on a plane and you're using a device that where you've got a VPN, turn the VPN on. If it's going to work on the airplane, it's going to protect you. And in any case, if I'm in an environment where I can't use my VPN, I'm absolutely not going to do anything secure on the device, whether it's accessing an unencrypted connection to our data, or just the things that you and I would be looking at when we're bored. Everything from stock sort of accounts to bank balances to what have you. And so making sure that you're using a device that supports sort of inherent encryption, or that all of the data is going to be encrypted, that's pretty important and getting more important every day.
So we know that VDI has been able to solve or certainly help enterprise IT wrangle these problems. You get all the benefits of your data center policies, your backups, and all of that sort of thing. And it's been widely used for in-office workers for years, decades, probably at this point.
It is, yeah.
But adoption for mobile users has been a little bit slower, and I feel like part of that has been historically the devices really just haven't been as great as their traditional laptop counterparts. But what's holding back that adoption, and how is that changing for the mobile worker these days?
Sure. Well, we're still seeing good growth in VDI, and in some cases we're seeing acceleration of growth. But, fundamentally, when you talk to an IT person who's been at this for, 20 years or so, and you mention VDI, they'll come back and say, old technology, we tried it initially, huge pain in the rump, very complicated, difficult to put all the pieces together and optimize them. And I think that was really true back in the late 90s and the early 2000s, when a lot of people were talking about this technology, and so companies were getting into it, and some had good experiences, and a lot of them didn't. And so one of the areas that we're trying to make it better is that we see it as a fundamental technology using digital workspaces to deliver the value of workforce transformation. And so part of what we look at Dell is how do we make VDI easier, and how do we make it better, even for companies who have tried it and said, yeah, not so much. And so we've done a couple of things. We've put together fully integrated packages to dramatically simplify the planning, the deployment, and the management of VDI environments. We've got one particular solution that is called Dell EMC VDI Complete Solutions, which is powered by VMware Horizon software. But it is a flexible consumption model, which just means you pay by the month instead of buying, $1 million worth of hardware. And it includes the hyperconverged infrastructure, hardware that you'd put in your data center. It includes all of the VMware software. It includes Dell services and our service portfolio. And it includes your choice of a Wisethin client or an OptiPlex or Latitude PC. And so this entire solution is optimized and designed in such a way that you power up the data center, and it comes up in a couple of hours instead of having to be planned out for many months and having an equally long startup. And the fact that we're all of everything that I just described is coming from Dell Technologies companies. The finger pointing that used to be rampant in this space when something went wrong is really reduced. And so making it easier to buy these things, and making them easier to support, and now making them easier to pay for. Like I say, using Dell Technologies, we have a Dell Financial Services arm in Dell Technologies, and what they do is they can make this available for a customer to buy it all at once if they want. They can finance and pay over time, or they can simply sort of use it as almost as an as of service model, where for instance, the cost of having a user per month is about $11, and that $11 pays for the infrastructure and everything else I just talked about. And so there's a lot more ways to get into it. And of course, the software that VMware is doing, as well as what Citrix is doing, has evolved dramatically and is quite, you know, sophisticated today. And as such, has also become easier to use. So we're seeing a lot of folks start to look at that, whether they're connecting PCs or laptops or thin clients or smartphones and tablets. That's, you know, that's what I do. That whole scenario has become dramatically easier.
So is it easier for administration, configuration, setup, management, or easier for the end user or more consistent for the end user? I suppose what I'm getting at is, you know, you talked about people that have tried it before, organizations that have tried it and kind of, man, it's not really for us. What's the root of it's not really for us, and how is that those specific or top two or three issues being addressed?
Yeah, well, when organizations tested these things out in the late 90s and early 2000s, first off, they had to architect the solution themselves. And often they didn't have a position from which to come to arrive at the exact right solution for whatever number of users that they wanted to support. And secondarily, the software from the various vendors wasn't as sophisticated or as well integrated as it is today. And third, you know, thin clients were driving a lot of this back then. And thin clients were great devices for task workers, and they sort of been given that, you know, they're for task workers, because their performance wasn't as high as what you'd get with a personal computer, you know. So a lot of that surrounded the difficulty in implementation and then the performance you'd get. But if you fast forward to today, the software's better, the implementations are better. The thin clients are dramatically better. In fact, today we have thin clients that do Skype for Business, that do AutoCAD, that do very high-end solutions, that do full support for multiple 4K screens, and are really a performance story. So the old thinking that you would put in VDI for kind of your call center gang, and trust me, lots of hotels and retailers and such do that every day. But more and more, we're seeing the use cases creep up the stack as the infrastructure, the software, and the endpoints become more sophisticated and capable. And much of this is now being driven by this security risk that we're talking about, is that, you know, one of the big elements of workforce transformation is understanding that you and I are working from different places all the time, and we may be working from home and from airports and from flying aircraft and things like that. We need to be able to have a solution that lets us be productive and at the same time access all the data we need to access to do our jobs securely. And so when you look at, you know, when you ask yourself, well, how do I possibly deliver corporate data when my employee is going to sometimes be on their corporate PC, they're sometimes going to be working from home, they're sometimes going to be at a frequent flyer, what am I trying to say here?
The airport club or something.
The airport lounge, thank you. Yeah, couldn't get that out. how are they going to get access from all those different places, especially when we don't control the endpoint? And when you factor in the fact that 95% of all, you know, ingress of hacks occur at the endpoint, the IT folks really get, you know, kind of put into a situation. And so that's when you really look at VDI and digital workspaces and what Citrix and VMware are doing, because it is the one solution that does very much protect across any endpoint. Because in the whole VDI equation, if I can use that term, because there's obviously a lot of technologies that report up to that, but in the VDI equation, the endpoint simply doesn't matter. All the important stuff is in the data center and in the encrypted protocols that connect to the endpoint. And so nearly every endpoint I've ever touched can connect back to those servers. And so it's kind of a silver bullet in making it work. In fact, in a pinch, I've been at the, I'm a big American Airlines flyer, so I've been at the American Airlines lounges, and I, for whatever reason, my battery was dead or I wasn't able to use my own device. So I would just go up to the kiosks, which are just internet terminals, right? And I can connect back into my data and get my complete desktop that looks exactly like the one I see on my devices. and do all of the sort of work that I would need to do. But because I know, independent of the connectivity, VDI or the Ethernet or however they do it, because my data stream of what I'm doing is completely encrypted as part of our solution, I don't have to worry about even having a VPN. I just know that I can get my work done. And when I log out, there's absolutely nothing that I was doing that is left on that device for the next passenger or the next person who uses that device to find. And so that's a big load off of the IT department's mind. And so what we see is that more and more of these companies that are dealing with this are finding ways to put in small instantiations of digital workspaces so that they can deal with the irritating employees like myself who happen to be all over the place. And everybody else then continues to use PCs and does that just fine. But I think that as we see more and more of the workforce evolve to the anywhere, anytime economy, technologies like digital workspaces are going to play a greater role. And it doesn't matter if you're connecting to it with a tablet or a smartphone or a PC or a thin client, they all work. And that's really what you and I want. We just want to be able to get our work done with whatever device we have in our hand.
Well, yeah, you've talked a lot about the mobile worker and a little bit about the task worker and some of these other use cases for VDI. And as you've gone through, one of the things that we've been interested in lately, especially with partners like NVIDIA, are GPU-enabled workloads. And it's something that we've been working on here with Esri and some other software partners about what can you really deliver using a server-based solution, a couple of GPUs in there, and pumping that out to your workforce wherever they are. And we all know that not everybody wants to work in a metropolis like us here in Cincinnati or in the Bay Area, you know, they might be somewhere else. And to get that best talent, these types of solutions where you're passing pixels and not data is something that could be a big deal when you're dealing with engineering designs, anything IP related. Are you seeing maybe not specific segments that are GPU focused, but what are some of the emerging areas that you feel like VDI can be a player in?
Well, actually, we've seen a lot in this space. And you mentioned NVIDIA, you know, their M10 and M60 GPUs are really revolutionizing what we can do in VDI for high-end applications. And so just to give you an example, I spend a lot of time in what we have customer advisory councils. Where our biggest customers come into a room with us and we talk about what we're doing and they talk about their challenges and we come together to figure out how to make our solutions better. And one of the things that I have heard more than almost anything else in terms of our manufacturing customers is that manufacturing automobiles or airplanes or intellectual property of any sort, consumer goods, et cetera, There are elements of the solution that are very secret and very unique intellectual property, and there are elements of the solution that are not so much. Think about the hubcaps for cars, the nuts and bolts that connect them, the wiring harnesses, and all those sorts of things. They all have to be done in CAD. And so companies are saying, how can we begin to use lower cost engineers who may live in different states in America or might live, work in different countries, but have the capability to do this work we want to do and at a far lower cost than we pay today. And they realize that the idea of taking a $6,000 Dell Precision workstation, which is kind of what people use today for all these things, and mailing it to someone in another country is not a super smart idea. In addition, that hard drive would have to be loaded up with all the intellectual property that all the designs and work that they would want that engineer to work on. And that's not practical from a security standpoint. So what they can now do is they can take one of our hyperconverged infrastructure appliances, they can load a couple of NVIDIA cards into it, and they can mail a $300 thin client to Bratislava in Europe. And that individual can connect it to a display they already have, or maybe one that gets presented. And because of the capabilities that those GPUs now provide, they can run full-blown AutoCAD with all the performance you would expect to get on a workstation in their location over the internet. Now, that assumes a decent internet connection with low latency, but that's pretty common now today. And so the fact is that no longer does the data, the software and specifically the design files, those no longer need to be shipped out. They can stay in the data center where they belong. We can even watermark the screen so that if somebody were to try to take a picture with their smartphone of whatever part was being designed, you can't really do that without exposing who's doing it. And you know, at the end of the activity, or you know, when that engineer is going to go off and do something else for someone else, all the company needs to do is turn off access to the servers, and everything is protected and locked out, and that that engineer can keep the thin client or throw it away or stick it in a drawer, and it's an incredible way to deliver applications that probably most of your listeners would never think of would work on a thin client, but now they do.
Yeah, and you talked about monitors. We've seen several of these guys set up rigs with several monitors for all sorts of activities, be it financials or designing or whatever. It's pretty impressive, and something that I think gets overlooked because of the, you know, some of the historical stigma associated with VDI that you discussed earlier times.
It's funny you mentioned financial. I walked into a major customer a couple of years ago and went out onto their financial trading floor where everybody's doing stock trading and investment stuff. And everybody's got, you know, four displays stacked. And when you look at it, it's kind of hilarious because they've got a workstation under the desk and they've got all these displays above the desk. And so they're wearing short pants like you would to the beach and a parka like you would in a snowstorm because the air conditioning has to be on so high to cool the equipment. And so this was hilarious and then very sad as I thought about it. And a lot of those kinds of applications are now being moved to the data center again with the NVIDIA and other GPU technologies. And now you just have a little thin client that draws, you know, 30 watts on the desktop and supporting, you know, four big displays, and people can now dress like humans.
Right. So a lot of these organizations, larger organizations, are probably bringing this buying decision internally. And I'm just sort of wondering how that flow works, and it probably works a thousand different ways. But I know if you take a storage first emphasis within the Dell Technologies and Dell EMC portfolio, for instance, Extreme.io might be a great storage partner because they're compression and dedupe for VDI, and that's great. And if a storage guy starts looking at it, he might start there. If it's a small organization, perhaps they start with some of the converged solutions. What are some of the different vectors that your customers are coming at this with? And is there a way to, I don't want to say unify because that's really hard to do, especially as the organization gets bigger, but how do you simplify the acquisition process to make sure that enterprise IT concerns are met, users' concerns are met, and that you have a more likely successful outcome?
Well, this might surprise you, but my first recommendation is always to find a dedicated channel partner who truly understands this technology, because they take it upon themselves to be up to date on the latest technologies. You know, we've talked about GPUs, we've talked about hyperconverged infrastructure, we've talked about you know, different methods of doing the storage as well as software-defined storage. And, you know, those resellers are professionals in knowing how to hook all those pieces together in the very best way. And many of them have a vertical focus. So you can't do much better in my mind than to go in and talk to a reseller who does what you do, because they have other customers who have probably tried to do what you're going to try to do. And they now have the scars and the badges from accomplishing that. You know, short of having your own Dell account executive who calls on you if you're big enough for that, the channel is the way to go.
All right, we'll put some of those the links to the solutions into the channel providers that you've got. I'm sure there's a database out there we can link to at the notes of the podcast and help people sort that out. Before we go, leave us with some parting thoughts on the future of VDI and just a real clear concept of why organizations should be considering it today.
Well, I'll tell you the best story that I have is I was flying into Moscow a little while ago. And when I got to the airport, part of the process of coming into integration was they asked me to take my laptop out of my briefcase, and I thought, okay, they're going to scan it. Well, no, they opened it up and powered it up. And you know, my heart just sank for a moment because that you just never know, right, what you've got on your corporate device. But since I happen to have a mobile thin client with me, and as you know, there's nothing on it except the connectivity tissue to get to the data center. There was literally nothing on it that they could do, and powering it up sort of uninterested them. And so after 5 minutes, my airport horror was over.
I
But
imagine it
using
would be
these.
different if your desktop was populated with Excel files and images and other things. It'd be easy to click on to learn more about.
Yeah, or worse yet, social media and banking information and those sorts of things. So, you know, protecting yourself by traveling with as little data as you can is always the best answer. I, of course, advocate for, you know, traveling with things like mobile thin clients. Our Dell Latitude brand has a couple of really nice models. But if you can't do that, you got to be smart about what you've got on your hard drive and don't keep old stuff around. I have a couple of examples of folks where their laptop was opened and files were copied off of it by the security people. And that just, that, first off, that's a terrible thing that we have to go through that. But you really want to be able to protect your data and yourself in those situations. So, you know, I would say there's always a litany of things you got to do. You know, be smart when you check into your hotel and don't use their Wi-Fi without a VPN. Have as little data as you can on the devices that you travel with. Make sure you realize that there are hackers who are far less scrupulous than myself who have the same tools that are very interested in your data, and it's kind of fun to go see what you've got. So you really want to kind of, you know, bulletproof your security environment. And that's about using things like password managers and such, and using a great infrastructure for corporate, you know, materials that'll keep you safe, like the examples we've talked about today. So it's you know, it's a big space. It's only growing bigger. We could have another hour conversation just on the challenges in cybersecurity and how healthcare is the new target. But that's probably a conversation for another day.
I suspect it is, and I'm sure you're right. I mean, we see those alerts all the time, and you can't go a couple of days or weeks without someone else having a data breach or malware installed or ransomware, and it's a difficult landscape. So it sounds like there's some great opportunity here to at least control what you can in terms of your endpoints and appreciate you walking us through the Dell Technologies solutions there, and thanks for your time, Jeff. It's great.
My pleasure, Brian. Thanks for having me.